welcome you tonight to our evening gospel service this Easter Sunday evening. Trust the Lord's blessing will be upon us as we meet together around His Word tonight. Just reminding again of all the restrictions we have in force in the building, the mitigations, social distancing and hand sanitizing and face covering, unless you're exempt from that. Do please comply, as I know you will, with these restrictions. Could I mention that the Vision magazine is available for those who have ordered it. It's on the table there next to the notice board, and please pick them up. There's a mental health book as well, a little booklet that's been produced. A lot of people suffering from mental health, not only during a pandemic but other times. And that book has been produced by a doctor from our church in Lisburn, Dr. Nigel Campbell, and also Reverend Mercer. So there are some of those available as well. So please, if there are some available, pick them up. If you can't get one and they're all gone, do mention it to us, and we'll try and get some more of those. And also the LTBS magazines are available as you leave. Again, at the exits, we have the offerings, and you're bringing your tithes and offerings. Today is our building fund. All those collections, building fund envelopes, go to that purpose. And, of course, there are baskets there for the Missionary Council offering, which maybe you have brought with you. You can put into that missionary box. Could I mention also the Easter Monday online for martyrs? The Kids Club at 6:30, if you're interested in linking into that for the boys and girls, 6:30 tomorrow evening. And then 7 o'clock, the convention service, focus on the 70th anniversary of the Free Presbyterian Church and the centenary of Northern Ireland. Reverend John Armstrong is the preacher. It's a varied programme. It's on Sermon Audio and Facebook Live, both of those, the Kids Club and the convention. No midweek Bible study and prayer meeting this week in the church hall, but the midweek prayer meeting will resume on Tuesdays from now on after the Easter week. That's Tuesday the 13th. It will resume on Tuesday nights. We're going back to our normal Tuesday nights for the prayer meeting in the church hall. Please keep that in mind. On Friday night, the Youth Fellowship will meet by Zoom. Reverend Andrew Murray is with us, of course, for a year, assistant here. He is now in our Dara Church. He will be linking in by Zoom, and on Friday night we encourage young people to join into this. It's been very successful, and other young people have been joining in. We encourage you to do that on Friday night, 8 o'clock. And then for elders, there's a presbytery meeting by Zoom on Friday night at 8 p.m. The link will be sent out, as will be for the Youth Fellowship as well. Next Lord's Day, morning worship, Mr. Stephen Nelson, who's assistant at our Portadown Church, the final year student of the college, will be the preacher. I will be in Ballyclare the next Lord's Day morning. The doors will be open from 11 a.m. for the church service. The prayer meeting in the youth room upstairs from 6:20 to 6:45 next Sunday night. The doors open at approximately 6:15. And I will be the preacher at the gospel evening service at 7 p.m. next Lord's Day. I will be then off for 2 weeks for 2 weeks in April. Please remember Reverend Samuel Murray will be in charge if there are any emergencies during that period. Do pray for all affected by this virus and other illnesses this time. Remember Sister Dorothy Garrett in hospital. Remember Sister Mary McFadden going through treatments, and others who need our prayers at this time. Do pray for them that the Lord will touch and heal. Our brother Carl Strip is also in hospital, has been for some considerable number of weeks. So do remember him also in your prayers at this time. And all who need our prayers, and we encourage the people to gather again. I know it's not possible for everyone to come, but we want people. It's easy to get complacent and careless too through all of this. And we want people, if they're able to come out again to the house of God. It's safe. We have all the mitigations in place. People are getting vaccinated. And so we encourage you to come if you're able, and it's safe for you to do so. We want people slipping into this complacency and carelessness. And we encourage you to come out to the house of the Lord again. We're going to join together in the singing of the opening hymn, which will be on the screen. Low in the grave he lay, Jesus my Saviour, waiting the coming day, Jesus my Lord.
stand for prayer, please. Eternal, gracious and loving Father, we bow in thy presence tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus. We thank thee for the one who has risen. We thank thee for the one who triumphed over death. We thank thee, O God, that he is the resurrection and the life. And we rejoice, O God, that he reigns and lives within the hearts of those who are truly saved. Rejoice tonight for those of us who can read our titles clear to mansions in the sky. We thank thee for those of us tonight, and we can say our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we look for our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we know that he who rose and he who ascended at the right to the right hand of the Father and ever liveth there is coming again in power and great glory. And Father, for the child of God, we look forward to that day when Christ will come. We look forward to that day when the clouds will break and Jesus Christ will return. And O God, we will be forever with the Lord in his presence. In the meanwhile, Lord, in this scene of time, help us to be faithful. Help us to be true to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray that you'll bless us tonight as we've met together in thy house on this Easter day. And Lord, we meet to worship thee and to praise thy name, to hear thy word preached. We pray for help and power in the preaching of thy word. Thou wilt stand alongside to help. Thou wilt be our portion tonight. Fill us with the Holy Spirit. Fill thy servant who sings with the Holy Spirit. And bless everything that's said and done. Thank you for whatever has already taken place today. Thank thee for thy presence with us and thy hand upon the word this morning and upon the time around your table early. And Father, we pray tonight again that you would come with mighty power and blessing amongst us now. We look to thee, O God. We take nothing for granted. We realize without thee we could do nothing. And therefore we cast ourselves upon the Lord. And we pray that tonight you will work. And tonight you will come. And tonight you will move. And tonight you will save. O God, save precious souls. Bring men and women out of darkness into light. In the power of sin and Satan unto God. And Lord, bless thy people. Encourage those that are discouraged. Those who feel they still cannot come out amongst us. We understand there are some still in that situation. Lord, give them help, encouragement, and blessing. For others maybe who have grown careless and grown complacent. And Lord, just think, well, we can watch the internet. But Lord, we pray that thou wilt draw them again to your house. Give them again a love for your house and for the things of God. Pray for those who are ill and cannot possibly come. We pray to remember our sister Dorothy. Touch her in the hospital. Lord, heal her. And we pray that thou wilt restore. Remember also our sister Mary going through the treatments. Help her. And our brother Carl in the hospital. Faithful man of God through the years in this church. Lord, we pray that you'll bless his wife at this time too. Encourage her and others too who have illnesses tonight. We pray, Lord, that you'll draw near to those who are hospitalized, those who are ill at home, those who are waiting for appointments, waiting to go into hospital. We pray, Lord, for those affected by this virus too. Thank you for your preservation of our own congregation here. Continue your preserving hand upon your people. Lead us forward in the work. Lord, we pray that you'll help us now that we've opened again to be able to have the services into the future. And grant, Lord, that the word of God will go forth with power, even for thy glory. We ask it in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. Our sister Natasha will come and bring her first message and song just now.
It was a morning gloriously bright with the dawning of hope in Jerusalem. Folded the grave clothes. voice speaking, calling her name, it's the Master, the Lord, raise life again. The voice that burns the ears, speaking life, stirring hope, bringing peace to us. We'll sound to hear appears, for he lives, Christ is risen from the dead. One with the Father, Ancient of Days, through the Spirit, who clothes faith with certainty. Honor and blessing, glory and praise to the King, crowned with power and authority. And we all raise with him, death is dead, life has won, Christ has conquered. And we shall reign with him, for he lives, Christ is risen from the dead. And we all breathe with him, death is dead, life has won, Christ has conquered. And we shall reign with him, for he lives, Christ is risen from the dead.
Thank you, Natasha. What a note of triumph was struck in that hymn, that Christ is risen from the dead. We're reading together tonight from the Gospel of John, chapter 20. The Gospel of John, chapter 20. And reading together from the opening verse. The Gospel of John, you turn there to this portion of God's Word. The Gospel of John, chapter 20. And we're reading together from the opening verse. John 20 and the verse numbered 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter, and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lying. And the napkin was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the Scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeing two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, that he had spoken these things unto her. Amen. And we know that God will bless to us the reading of his inspired, inerrant, and infallible truth. The hymn is 122. You'll see it on the screen again. Jesus, once numbered with the dead, unseals his eyes to sleep no more, and ever lives their cause to plead, for whom the pains of death he bore. You see it on the screen, we'll sing as we remain seated. Message and song to us, please. Thank
nail him down so that he
blessed that message and song to our hearts and the Lord's servant who brought it to us. Just remind members of session committee, there are some work to be done after the meeting tonight, so if you can stay and help out, even if you're not on the rota tonight, that would be appreciated to get the job done this evening. So please remember that. Let's stand for prayer, please. Our Father and our God, we come to Thee tonight in the precious name of the Lord Jesus, and we ask of Thee that Thou wouldst meet with us tonight. We pray for Thy presence. We pray for Thy power as we preach Thy word. I am trusting Thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that Thou Thyself hast given me must and shall prevail. We ask in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. You may be seated. I want to turn your attention to the portion of Scripture we've read from earlier in our service tonight. The Gospel of John, chapter 20, and the verses 1 to 18 in particular. The subject tonight is the risen Lord. The risen Lord. Across this world you can visit the burying places of the founders of religions. They are dead. For multitudes, these are the places they want to visit. They want to go to these shrines where the masses come to pay their homage to their leaders. And so they go on their pilgrimage. Even some go to such places in search of healing for a variety of illnesses. Others in a bid to find that inner peace that they're so searching for through the course of their lives. But often they go away still distressed and disappointed and even very disillusioned. But the one we want to speak to you about tonight is the one who, though he died and was buried, yet he is risen from the dead. And so the Christian faith is not a dead religion. For Christ is not in the tomb tonight. He arose a victor over death. He ascended to the Father. And there He ever liveth. And thank God He's coming again. The Bible tells us in that great chapter of resurrection, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 20. And Paul said, "But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the firstfruits of them that slept." One has written, Christianity is in its very essence a resurrection religion. The concept of resurrection lies at the heart. If you remove it, Christianity is destroyed. If the Gospel of John were an ordinary biography, there would be no chapter 20. As you read through biographies, as we often like to do, you will notice that almost all of them conclude with the death and with the burial of the subject. I have yet to read one that describes the subject's resurrection from the dead. And the fact that John continued his account and shared the excitement of the resurrection miracle, it's proof that Jesus Christ is like no other man. He is indeed the Son of God. The resurrection, my friend, is an essential part of the gospel message. And you read that very clearly in 1 Corinthians 15. It is a key doctrine in the Christian faith. It proves that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Acts chapter 2, verses 32 to 36. Romans chapter 1, verse 4. It proves that His atoning work on the cross has been effected and completed. Romans chapter 4, verses 24 to 25. That Christ died and was raised again for our justification. The empty cross and the empty tomb are God's receipts telling us that the debt has been paid, the debt of our sins, your sins, and mine. Jesus Christ is not only the only Savior, but He's the only sanctifier. He's the only intercessor. And one day He will return as judge. The Bible speaks of that day when He will come and He will judge the world in righteousness. The Lord Jesus Christ. And I draw your attention to Him tonight. And may our minds and our thoughts in the closing moments of this meeting be focused upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. And upon these verses that we have before us in this wonderful chapter 20 of John's Gospel. As we think about this subject tonight, I want to think about in particular three things. First of all, the receiving of this news. In the first verses there, verses 1 and 2 of the chapter. The resurrection story began with a woman whose love for the Lord was the most important thing in her life. In fact, it was the most important thing in all the world as far as she was concerned. It drew her to the very place where the Lord was buried. And we see here first what she discovered there in verse 1. As she came to the sepulchre and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. She came while it was yet dark to the sepulchre where Jesus lay. She was not afraid of the dark. Not afraid of the graveyard in the dark. Not afraid of the guard whom she thought would be guarding the tomb. Perhaps the perfect love that she had for the Lord Jesus Christ had cast out all fear. So filled her heart that there was no room for any other thought. And so her mind was focused upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And what she discovered there filled her heart with astonishment. And then it filled her heart also with apprehension. The tomb was no longer sealed. The soldiers were gone. And the stone was rolled back. What a scene that Mary Magdalene beheld on that occasion. What she discovered there. But I want you to see, secondly, what she decided in verse 2. And she runneth, then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, of course, was John, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid Him. You see her urgency? She ran. She went with haste from the tomb to where John was staying. She said, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre. We know not where they have laid Him. You see the understanding that she had come to as to what had happened. The authorities who had sealed the tomb at the time of the burial must have ordered it to be opened and moved the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all she knew was the grave was now open. And there was no explanation as far as she was concerned, or no other explanation than the one she was now giving. And so we have the receiving of the news. But then secondly, we have the reaction to the news. Look at verses 3 to 10 of this portion. And we see that there were various reactions to this news. First of all, we have the first reaction in verses 3 to 7. John could clearly recall here as he wrote the thrill and excitement of it all. Look at verses 3 and 4. Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. We have this race between these two disciples. You have the older Peter and the younger John. And they're running to get to the sepulchre. What excitement they must have had. And they drew near to that sepulchre. John, as we've said, was the younger and put on that extra burst of speed to arrive at the tomb first, according to verse 5. John's initial glance took in the evidence. But as yet the truth of this scene had not yet fully gripped him. Why would the authorities have bothered to unwrap the body? Why not take it, grave clothes and all? His bewilderness and the strangeness of the situation made him pause. He paused outside the tomb, but there was Peter. As was usual for Peter, he was straight in. He didn't wait for judge nor jury, as we would say. He went straight into the sepulchre where Jesus had been buried. Mary Magdalene was still trying to make sense of the scene. But there was the evidence. All the clues enabled them to solve the mystery. All that was required now to draw the right conclusions to the facts. The body was gone. The body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of that there was no doubt at all. Everything was orderly and in place. The grave clothes. The napkin. Just a little part from the rest. It was as though the form of a dead man was preserved, but the body itself was gone. And who could make sense of all of this? And so we have here the first reaction. Then, secondly, we have the further reaction. Look at verses 8 and 9. Then went in also that other disciple, here's John, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the Scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. And John followed Peter into the empty tomb. And he too took in all the items that cried out for the incredible but the inescapable conclusion. That Jesus Christ was no longer dead, but had risen from the dead. He had risen right through the grave clothes, of course. All the clues pointed to that conclusion. And then and there, this man, John, believed. The Bible tells us in verse 8, he saw and believed. Right there and then, he believed in the resurrection. Right there and then, he believed in the risen Christ. It was incredibly and gloriously true. Jesus Christ was alive. And the Bible tells us here, as yet they knew not the Scripture. Even if they had been unable to grasp the truth of Psalm 16 and 10, which spoke of the resurrection of Christ, what about the Lord's repeated prophecies of His death and burial and resurrection, the many times that the Lord Jesus Christ had mentioned this through the Gospels, through His ministry upon this earth. And yet they knew not these Scriptures. John himself had seen three resurrections. In Luke chapter 24 and verse 25, the Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus there with those on the road to Emmaus, he said to them that they were slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. He spoke about his death and all that would happen. But in the end, they believed. And often we're so like those disciples. We're so like Peter and John here who came to the sepulchre. And yet these disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, having believed, they went on to turn the world upside down. God had caused them to believe. And caused them to be mighty witnesses of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have the first reaction. And then we have the further reaction. But then we have the final reaction. In verse 10, look at the words of Scripture here. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. And by doing that, they missed a blessing. You can imagine, however, what a stir they made at home when they went over the facts. They kept repeating, I tell you, he's alive. There's no other explanation of the facts. There's still no other explanation. Oh, unbelievers have invented theories and he didn't really die, he only swooned on the cross. You've heard these things. In the tomb he recovered. He escaped in the night and later showed himself to be alive. You've heard those things. The disciples stole the body and then made up a lie about Christ's resurrection based on the fact of an empty tomb. You've heard that too, no doubt. The woman who came to the tomb were half expecting a resurrection and therefore had a hallucination. Maybe you've heard that too. And a godless, unbelieving world will do everything to avoid the fact that Jesus is alive. God raised him from the dead. But my friend, all of their attempts break down before the facts. The facts that are clear in Scripture of Christ's literal bodily resurrection from the dead. That Christ is risen tonight. Jesus Christ is alive, my friend. The Scripture proclaims the facts of God's Word are clearly before us tonight. Then we have, thirdly, the recognition through the news. In verses 11 to 18, we see here Mary's distress. Look at verse 11. Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. As she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. She was weeping. This woman who so loved the Lord Jesus Christ, she was weeping. The word for weep here, or weeping, it's the same word used of Mary of Bethany when she went to meet Jesus at the tomb of Lazarus in John chapter 11, verse 31. It literally means to wail. And here was a woman who was uncontrollably weeping or wailing. She was heartbroken. She stood outside the sepulchre and did exactly what John had done in verse 5. She stooped down to see the inside of that tomb. The word is the same, implying that she wanted to see more clearly what was inside. Such was her desire that she wanted to look at the facts. She wanted to see exactly what had taken place. Mary's distress, but we see also, secondly, Mary's discovery in verses 12 to 13 of the passage. And see of two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid. She sees two angels sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Christ had lain. You would have thought the world would have been there. The disciples too, eager to see what had happened. A welcoming body of people. The roads of Jerusalem should have been crowded with pilgrims. All Jerusalem should have been arriving with triumphant palms. But not so. Instead, the world stayed away. And shining angels were there. The messengers of God from glory came instead. What must those angels have thought? A few women came, one of them leave without much more than a startled glance. Two men came. And off they go. And now this woman's back and she's weeping. When she should have been shouting for joy. Look at verse 13. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? And her answer to their question showed her love and concern for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because they have taken away my Lord. You see the personal relationship? My Lord. And I know not where they have led him. This woman loved Christ. Do you love Christ tonight? As this woman loved her. He was her Lord. Is he your Lord tonight? Is he your Savior tonight? Well, you've heard about him. You know about him. But do you know him as your Lord tonight? If not, I pray before you leave this place tonight, you will. Good verse 14. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, but knew not that it was Jesus. The Lord was there, but she didn't recognize Him at that moment. She was so taken up with her sad thoughts. She was so taken up with her unutterable loss that she observed Him, but she didn't see Him. Not for a moment did she think it was He. But all in her heart that she wanted was Jesus. She wanted to see Him, but she couldn't see Him at that moment, although He was there. And oftentimes amidst the sad circumstances of life, dear friends, we cannot see the Lord, but He is there. He's standing beside you, but you don't recognize Him. You don't see Him, but Jesus is there. You see her despair in the third place, verse 15. Jesus said unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" She, supposing Him to be the gardener, saith unto Him, "Sir, if thou hast borne Him hence, tell me where thou hast laid Him, and I will take Him away." She was taken up with her grief. And she still didn't recognize it was Jesus that was now speaking to her. He was not only standing there, but He was speaking to her. She thought He was the gardener. She called Him Sir. And yet He was her Lord. She could maybe point her to the body of Jesus, this man, who she thought was the gardener. Then she could find the Lord Jesus and take care of His body. Many times, too, our eyes are on our circumstances. And where we find ourselves in the course of life, and that's true, even through this pandemic, many people, even tonight, have their eyes on their circumstances, and they're taken up with fear, and they're fretting. In the midst of all that's happening, maybe understandably so, but the Lord is here, my friend. The Lord is near. The Lord has not left His people. The Lord is standing by. Get your eyes upon the Lord. Fix your gaze upon Him. Yes, we have our despair, but then we have our delight. In verse 16, Jesus saith unto her, "Mary." Oh, I love these words. He spoke personally to her. He spoke powerfully to her. One word and her despair was turned to delight. Mary. The Lord spoke her name. And she recognized Him. Her eyes were open. She saw Him. Her heart was filled with joy. One word from Jesus. Mary. And she said, "Rabboni, Master." What a reunion there was at the sepulchre. She saw the risen Christ. Oh, my friend, what an amazing experience it was. Think of those two on the road to Emmaus. They had been listening to Christ all that way in Luke chapter 24. And then in verse 31, the Bible says their eyes were opened and they knew Him. They heard His words. It listened to His explanations. But now their eyes were opened. And they knew Him. Just like Mary here. Today we rejoice too that Christ is risen. She shared her delight with the disciples. Verse 18 tells us. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord. It is spoken these things unto her. We're not told by John how the disciples received her testimony. But Mary Magdalene, a woman, was the first to see the risen Christ, the first to hear His voice. She was the first, too, to be commissioned by Him, the first to tell the glad tidings to others. What a work this woman did. And speaking of the risen Christ. And how blessed she was in having had that experience of seeing the empty tomb and seeing the Lord risen again and hearing the voice of the risen Christ. Let me ask you tonight in this meeting, have you seen the Lord? Have you seen the Lord with the eye of faith? The risen Christ, do you know Him tonight? Is He your Savior in this meeting tonight? If He is not your Savior now, thank God He can be tonight. Will you trust Him now? How blessed she was, and how blessed we are today to have this wonderful news that Christ, who died for our sins on the cross of Calvary, who was buried, rose again the third day. That's the message we preach tonight. We're not preaching about some person who lived 1,000 years ago or 100 years ago who's dead. You may visit his tomb or where his remains are. He's not alive. But Christ is alive, my friend. Of course you can visit the tomb of Christ, but he's not there. There's no remains there. Christ is risen. We've heard that theme tonight sung so beautifully by our sister. The words of that hymn, "He lives, He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and He talks with me along life's narrow way. You ask me how, I know He lives. He lives within my heart tonight. I know, friend, that the Lord Jesus Christ lives within my heart. Does He live within your heart tonight? Dear friend in this meeting, does He live within your heart? If you're not saved, He doesn't live within your heart. But He's knocking on the door of your heart. And He wants to gain admission and eternal life in part. Will you let the Lord in tonight? Will you say, into my heart, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Does He live within your heart? Oh, invite Him in tonight. The risen Lord. I pray you will. I pray you will now. This very moment. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we pray that Thou wouldst write Thy word upon the hearts of each listener. We pray that tonight, the risen Lord, will be manifested in hearts, even in this meeting, that souls will come to know Christ and trust Him as their Savior. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Returning to the closing hymn, which you'll see on screen again tonight. And we trust, as you remain seated, you'll sing the words of this hymn 125. Look ye saints, the sight is glorious. See the man of sorrows now from the fight return victorious. Every knee to him shall bow. Crown him, crown him. Crown becomes the Saviour's brow. And after the singing, the hymn we'll stand for our concluding prayer. God has spoken to you tonight through the Word of God. We're here, your servant, for Christ's sake. We can open God's Word and point you to the one who can meet your need. Don't go away without the Savior. In the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Father and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forevermore. Amen.